And we know you can't achieve it through worldly means, and you can't bring it about by political means. You can't get mad enough to make it happen. What you've got to do is bow that knee at the cross, go to your own personal Gethsemane, win that personal victory, share that as well and as powerfully as you are able. And that's the perfect will for your life tonight. A lot of people looking for the will of God. The will of God is very simple. Just do what you know right now. It's not some far-flung thing, some outstanding design that you don't know anything about. It's just what you know right now. Do what you know right now. Live the godly, word-oriented life that God has called you into right now. Well, praise God. Did anybody bring their testimony down and put it on the pile tonight when you came in? I know it's been a long week since Sunday. I'll give you a minute if you want to just testify a little bit. Now, see, this embarrasses some of you. But the preacher was on the money. He was all up in our business Sunday night and Sunday morning. Let's give God praise for those that received the Holy Ghost from Thursday to Sunday. Hallelujah. 6 baptized in Jesus' name and 5 received the Holy Ghost Thursday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Mario's aunt got the Holy Ghost. Aunt. If you're from my neck of the woods, it's an aunt. But for Mario, it might be an aunt. And I thought that was just great. Prayed her through during the worship service Sunday night. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8. And we have just passed over the sea and calmed the storm and the raging waters. And he's about to set foot in Gadara, or in the 28th verse here, Matthew 8, 28, country of the Gergeses. It's Lake Gennesaret. It's Lake Galilee. This is where Gad set up as they came into the promised land. And so it's the land of the Gadarenes. Matthew 8 and 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergeses, there met him 2 possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Everybody say praise the Lord. God bless you. If you love his word tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, mighty God, for your word that never changes, that always accomplishes your purpose and your will. Praise God. Now, this story, this same story, is told in Mark and in Luke. And in stories like this, you get additional information in other areas of the Gospels. And so you are wise to compile a synthesis. But tonight we're going to take, we'll split it right down the middle, and we'll take our reading from the book of Mark concerning the same story of the demoniac that we've come to know as Legion. And And so we're going to move this or work this through the passage here in Mark chapter 5 and beginning in verse 1. He's come over. They've just come through a storm. If you remember, they were feeding the multitude and teaching the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, the cognitive, the academic part that you have to have, the intellectual association with the word that is absolutely necessary. And then Jesus says, let's cross over. And they cross over on a boat, and as they're making their way, the storm begins to come in that shallow lake, and the wind and the waves are horrific, and the seamen are scared out of their wits, and Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat on a pillow, and the boat is full of water. And they wake him up, and they express their concern, and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and there is a great calm, another story that is best embraced in a synthesis from those three Gospels, also Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when they come to the other side, he meets a man that came down out of the tombs. Chapter 5, verse 2 of Mark. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now in Matthew there were two, but Mark focuses on the one, and Luke focuses on the one. And it's in Mark and Luke where we're meeting this legion of devils. In verse 3, he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. This man lived out in the tombs, probably a cliff full of natural caves that was used as tombs. And many scholars have done topographical or geographical research, and this area looks like an area that is in present day Palestine, where there's a steep cliff right around the towns that are named in the story, and there are honeycombed in the cliffs there caves and caverns that still to this day are used as tombs. And he lived there because they tried to bind him, but they couldn't, because under the influence of the Spirit, he was so strong and so fierce that he broke the chains apart. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And would you say, no man could tame him? Say, they couldn't bind him. He was an individual that lived disassociated from their city. He didn't walk their streets. He didn't sit at their tables anymore. We don't know much about him. We do know that Jesus said, go to your home. And so he may well have had a home there. He said, go tell your friends. And so he did have associates. But like a leper, he had been cast out because of the horrible thing that had befallen him. We don't have any idea of how he got where he was. But this is the story now. He's in isolation. He's cut off. He's incommunicado. Nobody goes down to talk to him. From time to time, apparently, it gets so bizarre and so bad that they have to go and try to bind him up. Some civic group gets together and says, we got to do something. The road is not safe. Tourists won't come. Travel's not safe. I don't know why they would go up there and bind him, but they did. They tried to chain him, tried to bind him. And he tore those chains and fetters asunder. And he was in misery. Verse 5, always day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He was miserable. Under the power of the enemy, you are miserable. But even if the devil is not in the picture, I want to suggest to you tonight that there is no peace without the peacemaker. There is no joy without the fountain, the wellspring of joy. He cuts himself with stones and he's miserable and he's lonely and he's full of angst and he feels the separation and he can't stand the situation that he's in, but he didn't have an answer to it and neither did anybody back in the city. Nobody's got an answer for this. Somebody say praise the Lord. But verse 6, there comes a ray of sunshine off the stormy, frothy sea that had settled down into a complete calm. There comes a boat, and a man steps off that boat onto this raggedy shore. And verse 6 says, and when he saw Jesus... I'm telling you, everything changes when you see Jesus. I want to know, is there a witness in the house tonight that can say, everything changes when I saw him, when I really saw him for the very first time. I didn't know him before, but my God, when I saw Jesus. And the apostle writes that that is not unique to your emergence in the kingdom of God, but it's part of the sustaining power of your experience. The apostle writes, we don't understand it all. We don't see all the enemies under his feet. We know death is still alive in the earth, but one day death is going to be under his foot. We don't see that yet, but we see Jesus. Somebody say he's the author and finisher of my faith. My God, he's the beginning and the ending. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. He is the mighty God come down, robed in flesh. He is our all in all. Water when we're thirsty. Bread when we're hungry. When I'm in a valley, he's the rose of that valley. He's the lily of that valley. He's my comforter when my heart is broken. When I've got a question, he's got an answer. You could go on for hours extolling the wonders and the power and the goodness of this God. And this demoniac, in all of his misery, when he saw Jesus, he didn't know anything about him. I don't know that he got a newspaper up there in the tombs, but he ran. And when he ran to him, he worshiped him. I want to stop for just a second and tell you, I don't know where you came from. I don't know what your pedigree is. I don't know what your status is in the kingdom of God. I don't know how long you've lived it, how many medals of valor you've won in the battle of God. I don't know what your circumstance is at all. But I want you to understand this. In this house of God, anybody can come and worship God. In the Word of God, anybody can come and worship God. You hide your whistle. You hide your referees. Shirt. I don't want anybody judging anybody in their worship. My God, if a demoniac can come and worship God, anybody can come. Well, they ought to get cleaned up before they worship God. How do you figure they're going to get cleaned up? You enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You come into his courts with praise. You can't do business with God until you get into his presence. And I don't know any other way to get in his presence but by worship and by praise. And if a man full of demons can run to Jesus, and Jesus didn't turn the man away, he didn't refuse his worship, but rather he began to do business with the problem. This is a wonderful New Testament corollary to Zechariah chapter 3, when Joshua, the high priest of Israel, comes and stands before God, and his vestments are filthy. His robes are filthy. He's emblematic of the captivity Judah. He's emblematic of the fallen Judah, the ones that lost everything. Now they're back in the presence of God, and his clothes are filthy, and Satan is at his right hand to resist him. But he brought it. You notice where we find him. He brought it into the presence of God. He brought his problem. He brought his sin. He brought his... You can't get better until you find God. You can't get over until you find God. You can't get forgiveness until you find God. Don't stand in the way of somebody that's trying to make their way. No, Legion, you can't go. You're full of the devil. You can't go. You're up here by yourself. You can't go. You go get cleaned up first, and then you can come to Jesus. There was a whole doctrinal pursuit in the old Church of God It talked about saved, sanctified, then filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't get sanctified until you get the Holy Ghost. You can't get right enough without the Holy Ghost. Somebody say praise the Lord. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped and cried with a loud voice. Now, the man took the devil into the presence of God. I want you to understand this is a wonderful and a startling exposure of the biblical tenet that God will not obviate your personal will and will not allow the devil or anyone else to obviate your personal will. If a man with 6,000, and we say that because a legion was 6,000 Roman soldiers, if a man with 6,000 devils can come into the presence of God, that's not the devil coming into the presence of God. That's the man coming into the presence of God. I don't know what it cost him. I don't know how bad it hurt. I don't know how much strength he had to expend. I don't understand it, but I'll tell you, wherever you are tonight, in your mind or in your spirit or in your life experience, you can get it into the presence of God. The greatest thing you'll ever overcome will be your own pride. The greatest thing you'll ever overcome will be your own stubbornness. The greatest thing you'll ever overcome will be your offense or your hurt, greater than any legion of devils. But if legion can get it down into the presence of God, bring it. Bring it. Anybody can bring anything into the presence of God. To say otherwise is to negate the scripture. Well, I can't go to church because, or I can't go to the altar because, or I can't worship because, or I can't. You're a liar, and God is true. And that's as diplomatically as I can put it. And the devil cries out and cries with a loud voice, verse 7, and says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" In all three of these readings, the devil knows who Jesus is. Now, the Trinitarians may not know who Jesus is, but the devil knows who Jesus is. Heard something interesting the other night. The first interesting thing was that my wife listens to Coast to Coast. Say guy's name, somebody, Bell, and Coast to Coast, where all the lunatics and the weirdos call in all night long. I think she was just scanning stations or just happened to be on or whatever. But she heard something interesting. Fortuitously, she was there and it was there and she got to hear something. And I got to hear it. A guy was talking about alien abduction. Oh, I've lost you. And he said, they're not aliens at all. They're demonic spirits. Well, when we hear that, we perk up because we believe in demonic spirits. We don't believe in aliens. Do you? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands that listen to Coast to Coast. There was something in the room. But there wasn't. And the guy said, he said, consistent with these people that have these encounters, he said he's compiled a lot of interviews with them. And this is anecdotal, but it's interesting. The alien abductors, who he thinks are demonic spirits, they always tell people, Jesus is not God. And I was just listening out of one side of my head when she was telling me all this. I don't normally do that. I always listen with great attentiveness. But since it was science fiction stuff, I wasn't really paying. But when she said that alien abductor says Jesus is not God, she got my full attention. Because nobody knows that and nobody says that but that one that comes up out of the pit. I want you to know this guy was on. I don't know what you think about any of that, but I want you to know the devil knows who Jesus is. The devil knows what happened at Calvary. The devil didn't know it going in, but he knew it when he got kicked out of his digs. He knew it when he lost the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He knows it now, and he's full of fury. But on this occasion, this is before Calvary, and the devil says, in these three passages, he says, are you here to torment me before the time? They know it's coming. And in Luke, he says, please don't cast me out into the deep. And it says he begged them not to send them out of the country. They had a horrible fear of losing their space, losing their house, moving into a place of non-being. It's the same thing you feel when you think about death or dying or that emptiness, that loneliness you feel. The devils are afraid of the same thing. And they said, Jesus said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he said, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Because they want a vessel. They don't care what kind of vessel. They're just looking for a vessel. And it's just, you were made to be the habitation of God. You were made to be a vessel for the kingdom of God. You were not made to be a vessel for all the other things the world tries to put in you. And you're surely not made to be a vessel for a spirit of hell or a fallen angel. Never was God's intent for you. But some people open themselves up to all kinds of things and they get filled with spirits. This man has maybe 6,000. My name is Legion, for we are many. And there was a herd of swine, and the devils besought him, and Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 of them, and they were choked in the sea. The pigs repented and got baptized. People will live with stuff pigs won't live with. Now, there's all kind of commotion in the commentaries about this. People say, surely these have to be Gentiles. There were a lot of Gentiles living in the area there. Couldn't be Jews because Jews don't raise pigs. But you don't know what backsliders will do. I'm comfortable with the fact that these are Jews. And they're raising hogs. Real comfortable with that. They've worshipped Baal, they've worshipped Ashtoreth, they've worshipped the stars and the mountains, and they've worshipped all kinds of other gods. It's a little bacon won't even make them blink. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind. Everybody say he was seated, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Now, how many of God did that for you when you came into the house of God? How many did God change your personal culture and change your personal behavior? And people could see it when they looked at you and they knew something had happened to you. And they saw that, and you would have thought after all that time of trying to bind him up and chain him up and quieten him down that they would have been so eager to meet the man that had caused that to come to pass. But the Bible says they were afraid. This is the same type of situation where the apostles are afraid of the storm, but as soon as he quietens the storm, they're more afraid of him than they were of the storm. Now these people are afraid of this demoniac, but now he's sitting there and this is scarier to them than the fact of his howling and crying and cutting himself and their inability to bind him. That is really an interesting passage of scripture. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him, verse 16, was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And verse 17, they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. In all these gospels, in all three occasions, the people from the city say, you got to get out of here. They begged him to leave. They prayed to him, please leave. The demoniac comes to them, comes to Jesus, and says, I really like what you've done here, and I'm liking our relationship, and I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, you've got to stay, and I want you to go into the city, And I want you to tell your friends, and I want you to tell in your home all of the wonderful things that God has done for you. And the story ends there. He goes in, he tells the story, and they marvel, and they're full of wonder. And then the story moves on. He goes back to the other side of the sea, and at least two of the Gospels then follow into the story of Jairus' daughter, and we don't hear about the demoniac anymore from this point on. Praise God. The demoniac in this reading is a true and a real story. The story of the Good Samaritan was a parable. The story of the prodigal son is likened to a parable, but it's not quite. But I have a gut feeling that all three of these stories were true stories, that they actually happened. You do that what you want. Your speculation is as good as mine or anybody else's, but I'm teaching it tonight. But this story of the demoniac ranks there with those stories in terms of a depiction of a person who is powerfully symbolic of the nature of fallen man. Right. Legion, the prodigal son in the pig pen, and the man that was coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and was left beaten and robbed and nearly dead. All three of those stories are stories about the existential or the fallen nature of man. The nature of man after having fallen out of connection with God. Adam was made perfectly. He had no sin. He had no problems. He had no disease. There were no negatives in his life until he took of that fruit from Eve and he died spiritually. And then everything came unglued. But that man in the story of the Good Samaritan was coming down from Jerusalem and had everything stolen from him. And the prodigal son gave up what was at the father's house. And in the medium of the story, he comes to a place in a pig pen, mired in the things of the world, repugnant to God and to man. But this story of Legion, he is exactly the thing that haunts that city the most. They have their city. They have their homes. There's a light in the window at night. They have fellowship. They have meals together. They've got their schools. They've got their synagogues. They've got their little community. But nagging in the back of every mind in that city is the fact that I'm not connected with God like I need to be connected with God. And the fact that one day I'm going to breathe my last. And we're reminded of it from time to time when a brother or a sister or an elder passes away, and we carry that stiff, broken body and we place it in that tomb down there. And when we get to that tomb, there's this character there, and he's sitting up on the rocks, and he's howling and he's screaming and he's cutting himself, and he reminds us so very powerfully of what we are not, because we are torn away from our first estate with God. And if you think I'm stretching that too much, Jesus said, without God, you're naked. Without God, you're blind. Without God, you're a leper. Without God, you don't have anything. And so men get together and they build houses and they frame culture, and they frame their life, and they have the accoutrements of culture and civilization and peace and order and structure. But out on the hillside, for every one of them, in an unguarded moment, or in a moment when they don't even expect it, that loneliness rises up. And it's not loneliness for family, because you can feel it right in the middle of the house full of family. It's not loneliness for fellowship, because you can be covered up with people and still feel that bubble up in your heart every now and then. What is that? What is that? You without God, you are legion. You without God, you are in that place of the tombs. You without God, you have that feeling, I'm gonna be cutting myself with stones. You say, that's crazy. I want you to know that phenomenon, or that dysfunction of cutting yourself, is on the rise in the Western world, like tattoos marking the body. Now they're cutting the body. It's an incredible, incredible phenomenon that's happening, and it's happening as we distance ourselves from the Word of God, and as we get closer and closer to those things that Legion was suffering from. And they, in their city, they don't have an answer to the problem of Legion. In their city, they don't have an answer to man's susceptibility to demonic spirits. They don't have an answer to man's angst at the separation between man and God. They don't have an answer between man's inherent loneliness. They don't have an answer to the problems of a man who lives among the tomb. They don't have an answer. They tried to bind him up. They tried to fetter him. But friend of mine, there are some things about your human condition that you have no power over, and the doctor has no power over, and the college has no power over, and the banker has no power over. There are no cultural, social answers to what was wrong with Legion and what's wrong with you without God. Drives me crazy when people with the Holy Ghost settle down into a natural life, settle down into joy being dependent on how much I make, where I live, what I wear, what I drive, all of the structure and the framing of life, and comparing myself with the world around me and feeling good or not so good based on how I measure up with all of that, thinking joy is dependent on those things. I got joy because I got a raise, or I got joy because something good has happened to me in the natural. No, 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 no. It never was designed to be that way. I'm telling you, when he looked up from those tombs, man is in his existential state. When he looked up from those tombs and he saw Jesus, something went bam inside his heart, and he ran down to where he. I want you to know, nothing in this city has the answer to what this city needs. Nothing in this city has the answer to what you need. Your job can't do it, give it to you. Your bank account can't give it to you. Your financial security can't give it to you. Your social standing can't give it to you. Politicians can't give it to you. There's only one name. There's only one name. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Somebody say amen. All clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah. 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 This city doesn't have an answer. They try. A lot of good people, they try. They don't have an answer. There's only one that can take a demoniac and cause him to be found seated at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Praise God. There's only one that can still that separation angst. There's only one that can silence that loneliness down on the inside. There's only one that is a fountainhead of joy and peace and strength and contentment. Not money, but godliness is contentment with great gain. Godliness with great gain is contentment. Somebody say amen. I want you to get all you can and have all you can, build all you can, achieve everything, chase every dream, fulfill every dream. But know this, that it's godliness with contentment. That is the biblical definition of great gain. There's only one answer to all of those things that Legion typifies, and it's a red hot, ongoing, refilling experience Holy Ghost experience. I want you to know there's only one way you're going to escape all that. I can watch. I can see the drift in a young person's eyes. I can see the drift in a young couple. I can see the drift at every stage of life when circumstances change and life changes and your body changes and pressure changes in your life and you're not quite sure what to do and you begin to look for answers outside. But I want you to know there's no answer in the city. There's no answer in the framework of mankind. The only answer is in this Holy Ghost, Jesus' name experience. Oh, clap your hands unto him once more. I'm about to let you go. Hallelujah. 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 The only answer didn't come out of the city, didn't come out of the framework of man or the framework of culture or society or education. The answer came off of that frothing, windy, swept sea surface that is emblematic of the world of the Spirit. Men don't build cities out there. Men don't build much anything out there. Because we're really little microscopic cosmic specks out there on the face of that. But he just speaks to it. And it lies down. Or he walks on it among the breakers. Praise God. God alone does that. The answer didn't come from any of the framework or the devices of man. The answer came off the face of the sea or out of the realm of the Spirit. It is not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You can't do this without prayer. You can't live this without prayer. You can't possess this without prayer. I'm not condemning you. I'm not faulting you. I'm trying to inform you. The answer won't come. You work hard to get all this other stuff. Let me tell you, you've got to have a place in your life where you go walking out in that range of the Spirit with the only one that has the power to walk out there. My God, sometimes you got to come out of the boat and you've got to go walking with him out there. That's where your answer is. That's where your joy is. That's where your hope and your power is going to be found. The answer didn't come from the city of man. The answer came from God off the face of the waters. And then the people came and said, you got to go. You got to leave because we're comfortable with our city. And we're comfortable with the rules and the framework and the expectations and how everything is. And you're messing all that up. You're fooling with all that. You're telling us there's something else. You're telling us there's something better. And we feel threatened and we feel insecure. And I don't care that you made the demoniac a happy boy. You got to go. You got to leave. Now you think that that is counterintuitive. You think that that is crazy. But Brother Noy, I've seen young couples come in and get the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name. God turned their life around. They were out in the clubs. They were out in the street. They were doing all kinds of nonsense, and God cleans them up. Mom and Dad used to babysit for them while they go clubbing, but they won't babysit for them when they go down to that Holy Roller Church because they weren't threatened by the clubs, and they weren't threatened by the drugs, and they weren't threatened by the alcohol, and they weren't threatened by the world, because that's their world. But they were threatened when they walked in the door and said, there's something new, there's another way, there's power in this Word of God and in this Holy Ghost and in the name of Jesus. And they look at that and they say, you got to go. We have our happy little city, our happy little home here. I ought not do this, but I probably will. Yeah, but you don't know. Once upon a time, I had a Bible study. And the young couple's coming out of dysfunction and already changing and coming into what we know God can make out of people's lives. And I have never been insulted more times, more rapidly in all my life than I was by somebody closely associated with that young couple. Just running the church down, running the doctrine down, running, and the little voice in my head is, hello, can't you see they're changing? Can't you see good things happening? But the problem is that person is threatened. Their little city is comfortable and warm, and it's their city. And they feel threatened by this new information, by this Holy Ghost, and by all this shouting and raucous noise. You people, and how strange you are, and all that. I mean, why couldn't you get better in a Methodist church? Why couldn't you get better in a Baptist church? Why couldn't you get healed in a Presbyterian church? Why couldn't you? We'd feel good. We got those in our city. We can embrace those. Those are like us. You got to go. You, those weird apostolics, you got to go. But he's not smoking anymore. I don't care. Look at him. He's clothed and half in his right mind. And look, he's doing good. But no, I don't care. I don't care about what I care about is the fact that this is where we put all our marbles. This is our sense of security. And you're messing this up. This business of God coming off the face of the sea and walking in and miracles and power. They don't want that. They want 3-4 time and everybody sit still and read from the book and somebody do the sevenfold amen. I did that one time on accident in an Episcopalian church. I had no idea I'd done it, but they congratulated me on having done the sevenfold amen. And I said, well, sure, anytime. Still to this day, don't know. But it was a great Bible study. We had we had 13 people get baptized and get the Holy Ghost out of that Bible study. Episcopalians! Okay, I'm going to quit. And so Legion says, I want to go with you. And he says, no, you got to stay. Isn't that awful? I have decided to... No, you can't come. It's like... But he said, go back to your home and go to your friends. Because here's the deal. It's too much for them to see the power of this and what's happened to you. And what blew in off the face of the sea and transformed your life. They can't get it all at once. But I want you to go and sit down with them and break bread with them and rub shoulders with them. Show them what God has done. And you just tell them. You tell them about this wonderful thing that's happened to you. The hope of the city was not Jesus blowing in on the face of the sea. The hope of the city was the one that was changed by an encounter with Jesus. Can you say amen? Touch, if it's true for you, touch your neighbor and say, I've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Tell him. If it's true, tell him, I'm not the same. If it's true, tell him, I was crazy. I was. Brother Josh, that's what's going to work for him. That's what's going to work for him. You bring him in here, and there's one out of 50 that'll go, whoa, this is what I was looking for. That's a pretty deranged person. Normal people from the normal city, they say, oh, it's too much. You got to leave. You got to go. We got to get out of here. But for you, old Legion, back on the job, back in the house, talking to them, ministering to them, breaking bread with them, sharing. Jesus said, you tell them. You can do something with them. And that's exactly what our preacher was preaching to us about. Sunday night. He said, it's on the hill of testimony. You bring that testimony. They may not understand the swirling of the Spirit. They may not understand what they feel. They want to hide. They want to run back to their city and get down in a place that's familiar with them. You scare the daylights out of them. But when you come in there and you sit down with them in a calm moment in their city, you see, you got to go in their city. You got to come down out of where you were, and you can't go off to be with Jesus. Not yet. You got to go into the city and say, hey, let me tell you about a man that touched my life and changed everything. Turned me upside down and right side up. Let's stand together. Help me. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I've got a testimony. My God, was there anybody that was so lonely you felt like Hank Williams, so lonesome I could cry? But when you came into the house of God, you've been a happy man or a happy... Is there anybody got a testimony like that? Is there anybody that suffered with depression, but now since you had the Holy Ghost, you got joy like a river moving in your heart, and you've got victory even when there's trouble all around? Is there anybody in the house? My God, if you've got it, come lay it on the hill here of testimony. Come on. If you've got a testimony, is there anybody that can say, I drank like a fish, but now I'm up at Joel's bar and I'm drinking that new wine of the new covenant? Is there anybody that can say, I was bound up by trouble, I was bound up by drugs, I was bound up by alcohol, I was bound up by perversion, but God came into my life? My God, I feel a mountain of testimony building up. And you know what we're doing? Give your neighbor a high five and say, we're launching Sunday morning. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're going to come in the house with a testimony. God is a life changer. But nobody changes without a mediator. Nobody changes without a man that's going to touch them. Nobody stays without an influence in their life. Somebody to teach them, somebody to exemplify, somebody to represent the change. My God, are you ready? Are you ready to go into the city? Your legion, your long, lanky Mississippian, that's who you are. Your legion, but you're all clothed now and in your right mind. Where's Sister Juanita? And you can't go to be with Jesus yet. You got to go into their city that they trust and tell them there's something that can bring you out of the fear of that tomb. Something that can take you down out of those lonely hours where you feel like cutting yourself, crying and weeping all night long. My God, you've got to tell them. Praise God. I want you to offer yourself up as a witness and as a testimony. Would you do that? And just ask God, God, direct my path. Order my steps. Help me to find the hungry. Help me to find the thirsty. Help me to be a witness. Help me to be a testimony. God, you've done so much for me. Come on, if he's been good to you, I want you to thank him right now. God, you've done so much for me. You've been so good to me. I've got to tell somebody. I've got to share this with somebody. Come, let me tell you about a God that was so good that he gave himself a ransom for my soul. Mighty God, mighty God. Come on, is anybody glad to be buried in the name of Jesus? Washed by the blood and filled up with the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody that has a testimony in the house tonight? When I think of his goodness and all he's done, my God, I feel Holy Ghost in this altar tonight. Hallelujah. All right, I want you to pair off with one person. And the only reason I want you to be three is if you just absolutely don't have a friend there. And you're a spare wheel. Now, this is so you can look them dead in the eyes and lay your hands on them and say, I'm about to pray an anointed prayer for you. I'm going to pray you'll be a vessel of honor, that your witness will be anointed, and that God would open a door for you that nobody, nobody, nobody can close. I want you to pray for them now, church. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Pray an anointing. Pray God fill the net of their testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray what you know and then let that Holy Ghost just spill up out of your vessel and onto them. Pray what you know and then let Holy Ghost flow through your vessel. Let it be so, God, according to their prayer. Let it be so, mighty God, according to that prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Mighty God. All right. Sunday morning. Going to have revival in the house, and we know preachers can bring it in their suitcase, but we want him to walk into a firestorm. And I'd love for us to, and listen, this is no stretch at all, we could have 50 first time visitors in this house. I know it's Christmas, I know it's the holy days, and I know you got serious shopping to do. But just everybody you touch, everybody you buy stuff from, everybody you touch, everybody at work, take flyers, take cards, and say, come on, you got to come to the house of God. Come with me. Come see what God will do. Praise God. I want you to picture two or three people right now that you're going to invite to church. Come on. Somebody at school, somebody at work. Somebody in your house? All right. Praise God. Let's give God a little praise before we go tonight. Hallelujah. 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 When you come in Sunday morning, nobody's going to think you're crazy. Just walk right down here and lay your testimony on the pile. Let's expect God to move in an awesome way. God bless you. Share your victory with one another before you head out tonight.